Well, good morning, SCMC family, and thanks to those who sent in their greetings this week, and especially thanks to Neil and Monica Woods for taking the directory and each day praying for families in from our church family, one page at a time. What a great way it is to provide encouragement and support to one another. Maybe others will follow along. That would be great as well. This morning, let me just tell you where we're headed first. So starting next week, May 31st, is actually is one of the most significant days in the Christian church calendar. It is Pentecost Sunday, the day in which we remember that the Spirit of God came to the disciples as they were waiting as it's described in the book of Acts. And we're going to be starting a series through the book of Acts over the next several weeks, starting next week. And so you can get ready for that. Today we're going to be anchoring ourselves in Psalm 73. And we'll turn there in a minute so you can get that ready. But I want to read to you first from Matthew chapter 14 and starting in verse 22. The scene where Jesus calls Peter out to walk on the water. As we talk about this morning, one step at a time. What's our next step? What is the next step for us in our faith? Last week, we talked about crossing a threshold. Now we're talking about taking steps. And as you listen today, as you engage with us over the course through God's word over the course of time, if the questions come to your mind, if you'd like to discuss something further, then feel free to send me an email. We'd love to be able to continue to help you to grow in your understanding of who God is and his love for you. Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, it says, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it is you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' Jesus said. Then Peter goes down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you for another day in which to strengthen ourselves as we listen to your word together. God, would you use this time to challenge us, to shape us, to be more like Jesus? Would you help us, Father, to bring our thoughts as you share your thoughts with us? And God, would you also ready us to be obedient to the truth that you will disclose to us? Guide us by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There's always a sense of great anticipation and excitement as we wait for a child to take their first steps. The progression from lying down to rolling over to pushing up or sitting up, you know, and then there's the butt shuffle. It turns into crawling, and then all of a sudden they're pulling up on furniture, they're pulling up on their parents' hand. There are endless days and photos and videos of exciting entertainment for us. And then it happens. A step or two is taken, and then down they go. But that's okay. We accept that. We accept the effort, and we pick them up, and we encourage them to try again. And sometimes he wants to make another attempt right away, and sometimes she wants to just wait a little while. But then it happens. Those steps get more confident, as I step away from the hold of a mom or dad and towards the waiting, welcoming, and cheering arms of the other parent. Celebration ensues as a distance lengthens. Confidence gets instilled as we encourage and challenge our children just to walk a little bit further. Until, isn't it true that there's a point where our celebration of their steps turns to a little bit of a nervousness where they're going to take that next step? No longer are we cheering. No longer are we receiving. But our voice becomes sometimes shouts of caution. And our position changes from one of waiting and receiving to one of chasing and warning. Hoping and helping sometimes too much our children from taking steps we wouldn't want them to take. That's an appropriate analogy, not just for toddlers, but for all of us in the development of our relationship with God. As children of God, there's generally an initial excitement with learning and responding to the truth. And often in our early days, there are people around us to cheer us on and to help us and to encourage our small steps of faithfulness. But before too long, we think we got this whole thing figured out. And we start taking steps where perhaps we shouldn't. We even learn to ignore the caution and the warnings that others might give us. And one of the reasons that this happens is that we see so many other people around us taking those similar steps. And if they're going in that direction, then why shouldn't I? That's what we tell ourselves. So no longer do we think carefully about the steps we're taking. No longer do we look for the presence of our parent or listen for the sound of their encouraging word or think about their advice on how we ought to be walking. And then what happens? Well, sometimes there's trouble, but sometimes there's not. And so we start to base our decision of our steps on the immediate consequences of that last step that we've taken. And this is true whether we're talking about physical steps or steps of life or the maturity of our faith in God. Our capacity to take the next step, to move into the next stage, to mature into new opportunities is limited by our continued willingness to listen and look to God. He is our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Parent, who is cheering us on, who is encouraging our obedience, and who is waiting so desperately for us to develop along the path of His greatest blessing. That's what's happening in Psalm 73. If you got it open, I want you to just keep it there with us. The writer is looking at the world around him and admits a loss of focus, which leads to something like a misstep, a step taken in the wrong direction, a poor choice, apathy, or indifference. He considers even for a moment, maybe, that this faith in God thing isn't as important after all. And his steps almost slipped. He says that right in verse 2. But as for me, my feet almost slipped. Because he says he's watching people around him. In verse 9, he says they believe in eternity, but their talk is only about what they can possess in this life. There's an unapologetic hypocrisy that they're okay with. In verse 12, it says there are people who, by their actions, reveal that their interest is only in accumulating personal wealth for personal pleasure. Or in verse 14, he reflects on the daily struggle to persevere against the rising tide of injustice. We can all feel that way sometimes. And maybe it lingers for a few moments, maybe it's days, maybe it's weeks. For years. In fact, unlike the writer of this psalm, many of us can be guilty of taking steps that contribute to further the self-indulgent culture and the greater injustice of those who are already suffering. I understand how this feels a little bit in these days. We have part of our population who are used to being socially isolated because of their poverty. And we're watching those numbers actually grow. While in very general terms, we have a small segment of the population that is mourning their loss of recreation and leisure that many in the first group could never have imagined. And in between them, we have those who are legitimately lamenting their inability to work, who need medical care, and who miss community connection. And it can be disheartening sometimes to hear these stories over and over. Or as a psalmist says in verse 16, it's deeply troubling until verse 17. It marks a significant transition, a trace of redemptive thought that began in verse 1. It expands here now. The psalmist takes a long-term view, an eternal perspective, with God as the author and the creator of life. The writer gives full attention gives full consideration, maybe renewed consideration, of who God is and who we are with respect to him. He says, "Till I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny." In a conversation that I had recently with one of the executive directors of a local organization this week, she told me about the significant rise in cases that their staff was dealing with. Part of our conversation turned to the fact that churches were closed. And though she admits she wasn't a religious person, she understood that spiritual influence is beneficial for people in need and lamented the lack of access of religious services. And for a brief moment, I was able to acknowledge her observation of closed church buildings. However, I also was able to share God's capacity to relate to us is not restricted to buildings and religious spaces. We have the capacity, the freedom to relate to God wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, because God is present with us. Essentially, like the psalmist, we need to be reminded that the sanctuary of God is not a place, not a day of the week, or a service we attend. We are in God's presence always, and learning to listen for his voice and watch for his activity and to be reminded of his blessing, to remember his promises, allows us the courage to take that next step. One of the things that I love about this song is that it starts with a wavering, some uncertainty that we're all prone to feel. It includes a confession of confusion and even angry disappointment with the choices of others and the circumstances around them. It expresses a disappointment with the choices that others who might ought to know better are making. But it concludes with this statement in verse 28, "But as for me," the psalm concludes with a statement of resolve here in verse 28. The writer is enabled to take his next step of faith. "But as for me," it says, he's reminding himself of God's great love for him, of God's wisdom given through the ages through his word, the beauty of God's creation, and in confession of the dependence on self, he says, "But as for me," the next step, "I'm going to stay near to God. He's going to be my safe place. He's going to be my provider. He's going to be my protector, my refuge. And I'm going to tell others about him. But as for me," it's a strong declaration that is fueled by understanding who God is and how he enables and equips us just to take one step at a time. In these days, a number of people are feeling a sense of fear, which takes them away from developing their relationship with God. People like this want to know not just what the next step is going to be, but they want to know the whole path, the whole journey, and where it's going before they're willing to move. And if that's you, then you've likely been approaching your faith in God in a similar way for a long time. There's been little or no maturity because you stopped listening to God's encouragement to you to just take one step, just to keep developing, just keep serving, just keep sharing with others about God's faithfulness. Keep growing in your relationship with Him. You want to move on to another stage. You want to be able to mature, but you're like the toddler that won't let go of the coffee table. Yes, you might fall, but remember, as you listen and as you look for God, He won't direct your path on any direction that won't allow you to grow your faith and dependence on Him. He will allow you to accomplish His purpose while He is going with you. It's a reminder that God places all throughout the Bible. When Joshua had led the Israelites into the land that God had promised to them, God also warned them that they would come up against other religious systems, that they would be tempted to lessen their grip on the truths that God had given them, and they would be tempted to adopt those other practices. With no church or no temple buildings, Joshua's response was one of resolve. He says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." To the rest, he said, "You have to be prepared to make a choice. But as for me, I'm settling this matter now. We will serve the Lord. That's going to be what we decide to do, no matter what." But maybe you're not ready for that step and that maturity to be able to serve. Let's start with a smaller step, perhaps. In Psalm 17, the writer gives a very simple statement of next step resolve. In verse 15 of Psalm 17, he says, "But as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake." His commitment, his real act, it's a great daily reminder of getting back to basics. That is, remembering that God is with us, that He sees us, that we are made unique and special by Him. Our contentment comes when we know that when we learn to appreciate God for who He is, not just what He is able to do for us. Psalm 88 takes it one step further by reminding us of the importance of daily prayer, of conversation with God, crying out to God for help, because He is nearby and ready to listen. The Old Testament book of Micah is a book that speaks deeply of the prevalence of injustice and religious hypocrisy of the times. And despite the cultural pressure around him, Micah brings this resolve to not give in. He says, "But as for me, I will wait, I will watch in hope on my God. My Savior, my God will hear me." It's a declaration of patience, a willingness to endure, to suffer amid and among the injustice, actively promoting justice, serving with mercy as a reflection of humility before God. Micah takes a long view, an eternal perspective, and lives as though the kingdom of God were on earth, just as he believes it is promised in heaven. Returning to the New Testament book of Matthew, in chapter 14, which we read earlier, we have the retelling of the story of Jesus approaching the disciples who are making their way across a lake in their boats. Jesus is approaching them by walking through the storm on the lake. Peter sees him and hears his voice, and it brings confidence. It brings comfort. "Take courage," Jesus says, and Peter asks to come out onto the water as well. I love Jesus' response. One word: "Come." It's like your dad at the end of the hall. "Come. You can do it. Keep your eye on me. Listen for my voice. Reach out for my hand. Take the next step," Jesus says. and Peter steps out. And for a moment, the disbelief of the others fades from view. The impossibility and the illogical capacity of what he is doing disappears from his mind. And the lashing of the waves seems almost imperceptible because Peter is locked in on Jesus. Until he is not. It can happen in a moment when we look at the waves, we look at the wind, and we allow fear to dictate our steps, our inability to take that next step. We, like Peter, begin to sink. And then Peter remembered that God is good, and he called out for help to the God who listens, and found out that Jesus was also walking towards him, and grabs his hand and holds him up and helps him back into the boat. That's an amazing thing. What fear stops you from taking the next step? Is it fear of the circumstances around you? Fear of not knowing whether your next step will be good enough? Maybe fear of doing something no one else is willing to do or is currently doing? Maybe it's fear of sinking partway. So why even bother if it's not going to work out? But you've forgotten. If Jesus is calling you, if Jesus is moving towards you and guides you on the path, then why have fear? To one degree or another, it's in all of us. Wherever we are in our journey with Jesus, there's another step for us to take. The question you and I need to answer is, am I ready to take one more step? Just one. To help with that, here are seven possible steps to consider. Number one, establish in your hearts and minds your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You may believe in God and in heaven. You may also acknowledge the positivity of Jesus, but do you actually believe in him? Have you found new life and new meaning for life by placing your faith in Jesus Christ? When asked about this, Jesus' response was, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus didn't say, "I'm one of several ways to the Father." He didn't say, "Take a little bit of me and find your own way." Faith in Jesus is a complete step. Your step today may be the simple prayer of saying, "But as for me, I'm saying yes to Jesus, to follow his way through this life and for all eternity." Secondly, in your conversations with Jesus, ask him to energize your activities and cultivate an attitude of dependence on him, even in areas in which you possess knowledge and skill. Sometimes we take that for granted. No matter what you do, determine, "As for me, I'm going to honor the Lord in this." The third thing to consider, experiment with prayer. Experiment in your conversations with God. Ask the Lord to direct your prayer, to listen for his promptings beyond your own concerns. Try praying for complete strangers that you see while you're walking or running or biking or driving around town. Determine, "But as for me, I'm going to pray for the justice of others, for the well-being of others." Look for the beauty. Fourthly, look for the beauty and power in God's creation. Consider the mystery of these activities and ask God to work similarly in your life. Be able to say, "But as for me, I will be still before the God of creation." Number five, ask God for the grace to see every person and circumstance as a gift from him. Whether they are good or bad in the moment, acknowledge that he has a purpose in this. Say, "But as for me, I will accept that God will accomplish his will through this." Number six, give small and frequent prayer of thanksgiving to God for your life, for the people around you, and for being present with you in your circumstances. Be able to say, but as for me, I will give thanks to God for this, for them. Cultivate gratitude. Number 7, be ready to take that next step of faith without knowing where that step might lead, but knowing that Jesus is calling you. Be willing to join him as he enables you, as he equips you, and he cheers you on. Be able to say, but as for me, I will step out of the boat. I will step past my fear. I will step into the waves along the path that Jesus is calling me towards. In the New Testament book of James, we have this reminder that if we resolve, like the psalmist, to draw near to God, to step in his direction, he, God, like the faithful Father, will also step into our direction, just like Jesus did with Peter. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourselves, and he will raise you up. Our faith in Jesus is not sidelined, diminished, or thwarted by a lack of public gathering. There is always another step for us to take, another stage of development, another obedient act of justice and mercy. It may be time for some of us to let go of the coffee table of our religious understandings and take new steps of faith, responding to the voice of God calling us toward him. He is faithful, and he loves you, and he desires the best for your life. All he's asking is for you to step towards his hand as it waits for you to help you to discover the best that he has in store. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to get together. To hear your word as it's open to us, God, and as your spirit powerfully inspired these words centuries ago, millennia ago, we pray that they would powerfully activate your truth in our lives even now. God, help us to take that next step. Help us to acknowledge our fear. Help us to loosen our grip on the edge of the coffee table or the boat of our lives. Help us, Father, in the midst of our storm to be able to take that next step of faith. And so we commit these things to you and ask, God, that you would do a good work in our lives and in the people and the places around us. May your mercy and justice continue to prevail, even in the midst of uncertainty. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.